I just wish I wanted to eat something healthy. Recently, I saw an apple, and for a moment, just a moment, I didn't recognize it. I was like, what is that? Oh, that's an apple! So weird to not see it in a pie. But fruit, no one really wants fruit. It's too much work with fruit, right? You gotta wash it. You gotta peel off that sticker Al-Qaeda put on there. There's work. Like an orange, has peeling an orange ever really been worth it? There's not even chocolate in this. And some weirdos, they use the gathering of fruit as an activity. Why don't we go apple picking? Because I'd rather die. You have to pay to pick apples.
Okay, how much do I owe you to work for you for free? Don't rip me off, I'm no dummy.
Yeah, we still act excited when we see fruit. We're like, yay, fruit! At least it's not vegetables. Because no one wants vegetables. When you're at a party and they have a vegetable tray, aren't you almost surprised? You're like, wow, that's a waste of money.
All right, who's ready to talk about fruit? So I thought. So what's your favorite fruit? Oh, people are yelling stuff out. I thought it was going to be rhetorical. That's good. See, I was once asked this question, what's your favorite fruit? And when I was asked it, it was under very awkward circumstances, and it was very awkward at the time. See, back in college, I went on a date. Well, I wanted several dates, not just one date. But I went on this date. It's actually the last girl that I went on a date with before I started dating my wife, Julie. And so I went on a date with this girl by the name of Lori. She was a cheerleader. That's inconsequential to the story. I just wanted to point out the fact that I once went on a date with a cheerleader. So I went on a date with Lori, the cheerleader, and she was a cheerleader, by the way. Anyway, so we went on this date, and it was not going well. It was, conversation was lacking, so to speak. We were just not clicking. We were not connecting. And there was this giant lull in the conversation, and out of the blue, with zero context, she said, so what's your favorite fruit? And honestly, I do not remember what I answered. I just knew it was weird and it was an awkward question. And so I went back to the dorm because all my buddies wanted to know how the date with Lori, the cheerleader, went. And so I said, well, it was so awkward. It got so, like, there was such a lull in the conversation at one point that I said, she asked me what my favorite fruit was. And they, of course, thought this was the most hilarious thing ever because they're like, wow, you blew the date with Lori, the cheerleader. And but from there, it was just like anytime my friends, because they thought this was hilarious, that anytime we ever had a conversation where there was a lull in the conversation, inevitably somebody would go, so what's your favorite fruit? So there you go. That was the one and only date with Lori. Did I mention she was a cheerleader? I did. Okay, good. I just want to make sure that really happened. My name is Eric. I'm the director of community life here at Cross Point. And even though I kind of sort of did ask you what your favorite fruit is today, I'm not really interested in that, but I am interested in this question, and it is, how much fruit are you producing? See, as Kurt had mentioned during the course of this series, we've been examining how God has designed the seasons to have a certain rhythm to that, and our lives are really supposed to mirror that rhythm. Or we're supposed to go along with that. So all these things that we've talked about, like putting seed in the ground and planting and harvesting, all of these things work towards this big picture thing of how much fruit am I producing? Am I producing fruit? What kind of fruit am I producing? Now, we're not talking about this kind of fruit. What kind of fruit are we talking about? We've mentioned this verse a couple of times throughout the course of this series, but it's from Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. It is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is the good fruit. This is the stuff that we need to be producing, that should be coming out of us. This is what matters. And if we're honest, isn't that what most of us want, right? Like, how many in this room said, I could use a little bit more joy in my life, or some patience, maybe self-control, peace. I need some peace in my heart. This is the kind of fruit that we're talking about. Now, we lived in California for about 7 years. Some people say California is the land of fruits and nuts. Could be about what they produce. It could be about the people. You make the call, right? So the reason why, though, you deal with the fruits and nuts there in California is because of the weather. Yes, the weather there is wonderful. And sadly, people who've lived there long enough do not realize the weather, because when you engage in small talk, say you get into an elevator with somebody, right, and you want to break up the awkward silence, what do you say? What's your favorite fruit? No. You probably engage them in the weather, right? And just like we were excited, Kurt was like, hey, well, how about that weather yesterday? We do this all the time in Indiana. When we have a nice day, we talk about it. Now, my wife, God bless her, when we first moved to California, she'd find herself going into stores or running into people going, isn't this a wonderful day today? How about this weather? And people looked at her like sideways. And then we realized it's a beautiful day here in California every day. So people don't even point it out. But we here in Indiana, we can have 37 and raining in July. And so when we have a gorgeous day like we had yesterday and today, we want to talk about it, right? We go around talking about that. But in California, they just kind of look at you and they go, It's Wednesday, you weirdo. Let's just get over it, right? It's like this every day. Now, in California, you really don't get all four seasons. And while when we lived out there, I'll be honest, I did not miss the Midwest winters. I grew up in Chicago, and in Chicago, they say they have two seasons. They've got winter, and they've got construction. Those are your two seasons in Chicago. And if you've ever been in Chicago and the summer or spring or fall, you know, it's all constructions. But I miss the fall. Fall is my favorite time of the year. I'm not sure why. My birthday is in the fall. Halloween's in the fall, so there's free candy. Football season kicks off in the fall. I love football. My wife and I, we got married in the fall because it's cheaper. I mean, because we love the fall. We love it so much. You know, the thing about fall, too, is like Kurt mentioned, you get to do like these power tools. And they'd ask me, they're like, Eric, do you want to fire it up? And if you know anything about me, you know I am very limited in that area. I cannot do like the gas-powered stuff. I'm the guy with the electrical one. I'm the guy who's going around the whole yard with the extension cord, and I can't reach places. I will say this. It's an improvement for me. Years ago, I kid you not, I wish I was joking about this, I used a shop vac to suck up the leaves in my yard. I literally vacuumed my yard. But in the fall, we have this process that we go through of trimming back and cutting back the branches. We need to do this. In order for your trees or shrubs or bushes to grow more in the spring, in the fall, we need to cut these things back. And please do this. Because once a year, my wife and I go for a walk. Just once a year. That's it. Now, we have intentions of doing this more often, right? We have that conversation. You might, if you're married, we should go for a walk. That sounds like a good idea. So we go for a walk, and we're walking down the sidewalks, and I realize I have a difficult time walking down sidewalks because a lot of you do not trim your trees, and they hang over into the sidewalk, and it makes it very difficult for me to walk, and I'm not necessarily blaming you, but I kind of am, that for my own personal well-being, really for my marriage, that if you could trim your trees, it would be a wonderful, beautiful thing. Now, they call this process pruning. Now, by definition, here's what prune means, as in the verb, not the dried plum, which is an excellent source of fiber, but this is what prune means. Trim a tree, shrub, or bush by cutting away dead or overgrown branches or stems, especially to increase fruitfulness and growth. You see that part in there? It's a process of cutting away, trimming with the purpose to increase fruitfulness and growth. See, in the rhythm of the seasons, it's important to have a fall time of our life where we trim and we cut back things. And you can see how this has ramifications in our personal lives and in our spiritual lives. See, a year ago, I was working a whole other full-time job, in addition to working for Crosspoint, in addition to doing freelance radio work and freelance fundraising work. And oh yeah, by the way, I've been working on my master's, so I've been taking classes, and I was getting ready to go into an internship. And when I was looking at what the internship was going to require, I figured out it was going to take 21 hours of my week working at a counseling center each week for an entire year. Needless to say, I began to have a little bit of panic attacks at the thought of, how am I going to do all of this? And it became apparent that something was going to have to be pruned, or several things might have to be pruned. And so we made the difficult decision in our family to cut back, believe it or not, the full-time job. We cut that out. And now it was a great place to work. It was called Cure International. And what they do at Cure is they help heal children with disabilities in third world countries. It's an awesome place. They do awesome work. And yet, the belief, our belief was, it's come to pass to be true, is that in order for us to be able to do more, in order for there to be the best of me and my family, in order for there to be fruit in my life, something had to be cut back. And so we made that difficult decision to do that. Because oftentimes we have this false notion in our lives that if we want more in our lives, if we want more of even God's goodness in our lives, or we want more good stuff in our lives, well, I got to do more. I have to do more, right? I have to do more. But the reality is there are seasons in our life, a fall or autumn in our lives, in which we need to prune. We need to trim back in order for there to be growth. In order for me to grow, I may need to trim or prune. Now, Jesus spoke to this idea when he was speaking to his disciples. He says, I am the true grapevine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they can produce even more. You've already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you, for a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away as a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. Now, there's a lot going on in that passage, but some takeaways from that. So one is, Jesus talks about how he is the grapevine. He is the vine. And his Father, God, is the gardener. And later on, it says that we are the branches. And here's what it says of the gardener, of God. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they'll produce even more. So even the branches that do produce fruit get cut off, get trimmed back so they can produce more. He goes on to add this, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. You cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Now, some versions of the Bible, when it talks about saying remain in me, use this phrase of abide in me. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. Now, for some of us, we don't necessarily know what the word abide means because it's not something that we use. Now, you may have heard this if you've seen the movie The Big Lebowski, where there's the dude, and the dude abides. He's like this ultra-chill character in there, and at one point when things are kind of getting a little sketchy, he just goes, the dude abides. And so people have taken this and run with this, and there's other people who have made it their own religion. I knew somebody who was once filling out a form where they asked them what their religion was, and they just put, the dude abides. So I'm not sure what that means, but what it says in this passage is that it talks about how God says that we need to remain in him, that if we that we need to stay connected to him, and he will stay connected to us if we want to bear fruit. We need to connect. We need to depend on God. It says to remain in him, which implies that this is an ongoing process, that we continually need to be connected and plugged in to God. Again, it says in John 15:4, it says, by remaining in him, you cannot be fruitful. It says, you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Now, we know we need to stay connected to Jesus in order to bear fruit. So what about the pruning part? So other conversations we have when we're not having the enlightening conversations about your favorite fruit, or we're not talking about the weather, our conversations generally go like this, right? You run into someone on the street that you haven't seen in a while. Hey, how you doing? I'm doing good. Staying busy. Always busy. Doing good, though. How about you? Oh, yeah. Totally can relate. Doing good. Staying busy. Everybody is busy. Everybody that you run into, everybody that you talk to is busy. We're all overscheduled, right? We're all overwhelmed. We're all busy. I know I get it. I am the king of being busy. And by the way, this is something else that we do. Busyness can kind of be this thing that we brag about. It can be like this badge of honor, who can be the busiest, right? And along those lines, don't get into a competition with me to see who's busier, okay? Because I will crush you. I am that busy. I am so busy, I don't have time to get into a competition with you. So if you've got time to get into competition, you clearly are not as busy as me. But you're busy, our kids are busy, we have zero room or margin in our lives. And then, if we were to examine our basket of fruit, we may go, well, how come I only have a few different things here in my basket? I'm busy all the time. So how come I'm not producing anything? How come I'm not producing much fruit? You see, fall involves pruning of the good. And so the challenge is, and I am so, like, if people know me and you know even a little bit about what my schedule is like, I am so preaching and teaching to myself today right now, is that we can often justify our busyness because we're doing good things. Again, remember, it's that badge of honor. I'm doing a lot of good stuff, right? Coaching that team, volunteering at my kids' school, putting in those extra hours at work so we can take that vacation. And really, in and of themselves, those things aren't bad, right? Those things aren't bad. And at times, it's okay and maybe even necessary, right? For a season. There are seasons in our lives when we will be stretched, when we will need and be required to do more. The problem is, and this is for me as well, we often live in this season. We live in this perpetual season and state of busyness. We say things like, well, when things slow down, right? Or when I'm not so busy, I will. We don't prune. And when we don't do that, we're missing out on producing fruit or much fruit. And who suffers? Well, we do. Our relationship with God suffers. Our relationship with our family suffers, with our spouse suffers, with our friends suffers. It's like some of you, myself included, we can walk around like this, right? Our hands are full of this. And God says, I've got this whole basket of fruit for you, but you can't pick it up because your hands are full of this. And you need to let go of this. Good, right? Because I have something greater for you. He prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they'll produce even more. We have to cut back. We have to prune so we can have and get something better from God. John Maxwell puts it this way. He says, learn to say no to the good so that you can say yes to the best. Now, Jesus said no to things, right? He can be our model. He should be our model. There was a time in the Gospel of Mark when Jesus is out and he's healing people and he's performing miracles like crazy, right? He's going from town to town, he's doing this. And at one point, he's gone. And the disciples are like, where did he go? So they go looking for him and they find that Jesus has removed himself from the crowd and he's gone away and he's praying. He's cut himself off from all these things. And Peter, one of the disciples, truly says to them, everyone is looking for you. It's like he was saying, like, Jesus, there's no shortage of people that need to be healed. There's no shortage of miracles that you can be doing right now. And Jesus said to them, hey, we need to go off. We need to go from here. We need to cut ourselves off from here. He was doing amazing, great things, but he knew that God had something bigger for him that he had to move on to. Are you so busy, maybe even doing good things, but at the expense of producing more fruit? You're going to have to allow God to prune you, cut things out of your life. And there are things that you do, and maybe even good stuff, that are preventing you from doing things that matter. One of the things that we've talked about during the course of this series is serving here at Crosspoint. And let's be honest, there's many of you who don't have the ability to do this because we're busy. We're so busy doing so many other things, and they can be good things. But God has hardwired us to serve, to do things that matter. And so this is not a guilt thing. This is an opportunity for us right now to say, you know what? I may need to prune something in my life so that maybe I can do something that matters, something I'm hardwired for, and that could be serving here at Crosspoint. So if that's where you land today, we've got that serve survey. It's not a contract. It's truly a survey to kind of get a lay of the land where you're at. It's in your weekly. We also have something in the Crosspoint app under what's happening that you can check out, okay? But anytime we cut or remove something in our lives, it's going to hurt. There can be pain involved. There's an opportunity for that. And along those lines, let's go back to that verse in John, the second part of that, that passage. Yes, I'm the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. Well, that sounds pleasant, doesn't it? Right? Can we go back to talking about fruit and what's our favorite fruit? See, it's one thing to not be producing much fruit, right? It's another thing that if we take an honest look and assessment in our life, and our basket looks like this, it's empty. And maybe you can look at your life and say, I'm not producing much fruit. I'm not doing that. There could be a couple reasons why that you're not producing any fruit. For some of you, maybe you've never been connected to the vine, to Jesus. Maybe this church thing is new to you. You've just been kind of checking it out. But you've heard today that God has something more for you. And you're like, I do want peace in my life. I want joy in my life. I want love. I want kindness. I want self-control. I need self-control in my life. Well, it's as simple as saying a prayer, saying, Jesus, I want you to be a part of my life. And that can happen for you at this moment. How, for some of you, it's not a matter of you're not connected to the vine. It's not a matter of maybe even being too busy. That could be part of it. But there's something bigger going on in your life. More than likely, there's just something going on in your life that you continue to engage in, that you continue to allow to be a part of your life that is not good, that is not healthy. In this case, it's not a matter of pruning back or trimming back. It's a matter of cutting off. Got to cut that thing off. And I feel like I'm kind of tiptoeing around it because sometimes in our culture we don't like to talk about this, and sometimes even in church we don't want to talk about this. But I'm talking about the S word, talking about sin. Just got real now, right? Ooh, see how some of you are like muttering another S word right now. I don't know where your minds went, but that's a sin. Just kidding. Just got real now. But right, fall involves cutting out sin. The reason why your life is maybe the way it is right now, the reason why you're not growing or producing any fruit, it's because there's an area of your life that you're allowing to yourself to engage in, that you're not doing anything about. You're downplaying it. You don't think it's a big deal. Like, can I just have this one thing in my life? It's not that big of a deal. It's not hurting anybody else. And yet it is. Or maybe you just rather keep doing it. Back to that verse. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. Well, that seems scary. Thrown away like a useless branch. Gathered into a pile to be burned. Now, you can interpret that verse in many ways, and many of your minds will go like, oh, that is, I don't like that. But the overarching takeaway from all of this is that there are things in your life that you're engaged in that you need to take care of. And if you don't take care of it, here's the sobering news. God will. He'll cut it off. And it'll be hard. and it'll be hurtful because, as we've said before, pruning and cutting off can hurt. You can only continue to willfully disobey God for so long before he comes in and he prunes you and he cuts that thing out. And there's some here that know this because you did what you wanted. You continue to engage in things. You continue to sin, and eventually you crashed and burned. Like the branches gathered into a pile to be burned. You see, God's pruning is often discipline. And discipline, let's face it, is a word we hate. Unless it's in relation to some other parent's kids. Then we're all for discipline, right? We're in the grocery store. Somebody ought to discipline that kid, right? But when it comes to us, we don't like that. Now, I don't want you to misinterpret God's discipline, because many of us do. We often have this view of God that he is mean and he is looking to punish you, right? How many of you have ever had that conversation where you said that thing and you're like, oh, let me look for the lightning bolt. It's going to strike me, right? God's going to get me. That's not true. Hear this. If you don't hear anything else today, hear this. The inherent nature of God is that he is good. God is good, and he loves you. He's your heavenly Father. He's not some distant, uncaring God far away that's looking to punish you and get you. But like your parents, he sometimes may have to discipline us, right? Maybe your parents said things like this, and feel free to sing along as we say them. This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you, right? I'm doing this for your own good, right? So you know these things. You've heard these things. Some of you may have seen this about a week ago, speaking of punishments. You see this one hit the news? So this is a dad, and he is at a Charlotte Hornets game. They're playing the Cleveland Cavaliers. And apparently Thomas, his son, had been prioritizing sports over doing well in school. And so Thomas had to learn the hard lesson of, Thomas, get your grades back up, and next time you'll be here. How hard is that? So this is at a Charlotte Hornets game, and this kind of made the news. Now, the funny thing is, Hugo the Hornet, the mascot for the Charlotte Hornets, wanted to encourage Thomas. He felt for Thomas. So at the next game, Hugo the Hornet put this sign up. He says, Thomas, when is your next report card? Call me. I can help. Love, Hugo. Well, apparently, sadly, I don't think Thomas was getting the message, because at the very next game, Hugo the Hornet had this sign. Thomas, seriously, improve your grades. My arms are getting tired. Now, we can argue about the form of punishment that this dad and Hugo did, right? I don't know if it's the best form of punishment or not. But I'm sure it got Thomas's attention now that the whole world knows about this, right? So if you saw your kid continue to play in traffic, you'd say, don't play in traffic. My guess is your child hopefully knows they're not supposed to play in traffic. But if they continue to play in traffic, you might have to go to some drastic measures. You might have to discipline them. Maybe you ground them. Maybe you take away whatever it is, their phone or their Xbox or something like that. But the reason why you discipline your kids, and students hear this, the reason why parents discipline their kids, it's not because they're big, mean jerks. It may seem that way sometimes, right? And parents don't always get this right. But the reason why your parents discipline you is because they love you. And God loves you like crazy. God loves you infinitely more than you can even comprehend. He does. How much does he love you? We'll be celebrating this next weekend. God was beaten and had his flesh ripped apart. He was mocked. He was spat upon. He had nails driven into his wrist, into his feet. He was put on a cross, and he bled out, and he suffocated on the cross. That, my friends, is not a guilt trip. That, my friends, is love. Pure love. If you have any doubt how much God loves you, is he did that for you. He did it for you. And he'd do it again for you. That's how much he loves you. That's how valuable you are, that God sent his son to die for you. He gave his son for you. He sacrificed his son for you. So God will sometimes discipline you, but it's because he loves you. Some look at the Ten Commandments, and some people look at the standards that the Bible lays out and go, that's what this whole God thing is about, right? It's rules and regulations. Do this, don't do that, right? But God has these things in place in the same way that you have rules and standards for your kids, right? It's to protect them. God wants to prevent you from doing something that's going to be destructive. And so pruning may come in the form of discipline for our own good. Now, most likely, you probably don't have to think too hard, or probably at all, that if you have an area in your life that you know is destructive, that you willfully continue to do sin in your life, then you need to go to God and say, I need to cut this out. Because believe me, you'd much rather get to the place of cutting that out and having God do it now with you going to him rather than him having to get your attention by doing that. Because some of us in this room probably have the scars of that in our lives. We continue to do something, and we've got the scars of a broken life, a broken marriage, a lost job, a broken home. But the good news is, there's good news in all this, is that you have an opportunity to do something about that. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins and restore their land. Again, it's much better for us to ask God to prune us rather than it is for him to have to come in and cut those things off. See, God has a big basket of fruit, much bigger than this. It is overflowing with all sorts of goodness, of peace and love and kindness and joy and self-control. All of these good things, and not just a little, but a lot for each and every one of us. In order to get this in our lives, we may have to trim and prune maybe the busyness in our life, cut and trim some of the good in our life so we can get something greater from God. Or you may have to have God cut that thing off in your life so that you can have some fruit and work your way up towards getting this. God wants you to produce something even better in your life. After all, Jesus lived all four seasons. He lived all four seasons. He can relate to what we go through. Here's what he says in John 12:23 through 25. It says, and Jesus answered them, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies. See, Jesus is going through the fall. He died on a tree, right? See what it says here. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies. So what happens then? It goes into the earth, goes into the ground. It's snowed over. It's frozen. It says it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves their life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And what does that mean? Like, whoever loves, shouldn't we love our lives? Well, not the sin that we're doing, not when we're doing it at the expense of the fruit that God has for us. If you're loving that part of your life, then ultimately you lose it. But God says, if you die to your sin, he's got something much better for us. He's got eternal life for us. See, to be about God, we have to model this. Jesus dies. He cuts off his life. His life is cut off. And next weekend, Easter only came about because God allowed his son to die in order for new life to come. About 8-9 years ago, I had one of the most challenging things ever said to me. It was this: Eric, sometimes you're here, but you're really not here. See, at that point, I thought I was living all my radio dreams. I was doing a zillion different things. I was doing about 3 jobs that most people would kill to have one of them. I was the program director for 2 national Christian radio networks. I did afternoon drive on one of those networks, and on the other one, I just started doing morning drive. 3 things that individually a lot of people would die for. And yet, that accounted and amounted to 13-hour days, and days that oftentimes would not end when I came home. It would be involving being on the phone, being on the laptop. And so we sat at a restaurant. My wife said to me, "Eric, sometimes you're here, but you're really not here. I wasn't engaged. I wasn't there." And so I realized that I needed to cut something off because that was really the cry of my wife's heart. And really, in relation, it was the cry of my kid's heart as well. And I realized I needed to change. And so the opportunity presented itself for us to move to Indianapolis, where I would just have to do the morning show. That's all I'd have to do. We'd be able to cut out the other two jobs. In essence, we cut out those two jobs, and we cut out California because God had more fruit for our family here. He had more fruit for me. So we made the decision to allow God to cut us and cut that out of our lives. On the back of your connection card, if you want to grab that and take it out, there's some next steps there. Again, maybe for you, your next step is just coming back next Sunday for Easter and inviting some friends. Maybe for you, you made that decision today to follow Jesus, to be connected to the vine. Again, it's as simple as a prayer and doing that. Please mark that on your connection card. If you did that today, we'd love to be able to follow up with you just to see if there's anything you need. It's not in a weird way. We just care about you. So we just want to make sure that you have what you need as you go along this journey. Maybe for you today, it is identifying those areas of busyness, even the good stuff that you may need to prune. You may need to prune something good so that God can allow something greater and bigger to come into your life. Or maybe you need to realize you got to that point where, like, I have to cut this out of my life. I have to cut it out of my life right now. Otherwise, the consequences might be dire moving forward. Finally, during this series, we've had open baptisms. This is the final Sunday of this series where we've had an opportunity each Sunday for you to be baptized. We haven't planned these out. But if you've made that decision in your life to follow Jesus, whether it was just a couple of minutes ago or 20-some years ago, and you've never taken this next important step to be baptized, then maybe today is the day that you get baptized. If you made a decision in your heart to follow Jesus and yet have yet to be baptized, maybe today is the day. You might not have come prepared to be baptized today, but we're prepared for you. We've got a team of people in the back in the commons. They've got brand new t-shirts and shorts you can wear, even clean brand new undergarments that are yours to keep. We do not reuse these. We've got hair care products. We've got towels. There are no barriers to get in the way that if you want to get baptized today, nothing will get in the way of that. Let's stand. We have a baptism team back in the commons, ready to serve you today. If you want to take this next step to be baptized, you can walk out the doors right now or anytime during these next three songs. And I mean that, anytime during these next three songs. I encourage you that if you've received Jesus at some point, maybe right now you're kind of feeling a little flush. Maybe you're feeling a little nervous. Don't chalk that up to just nerves. Maybe that's the Holy Spirit nudging you right now to say, today's the day. Maybe you made some important decisions in here, things that you need to cut off or prune back. And this is an opportunity for you to define that moment that if you've yet to be baptized, that you get baptized today, get washed by the water. Don't miss this opportunity to declare with God that, God, I am with you and you are with me. We've got PJ in the tub. We're going to pray. Anytime, even during this prayer, if you want to go out and get ready to get baptized, you can get baptized today. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this opportunity to come before you. God, we're thankful that we know that you have more for us, more fruit, more goodness that we can have. God, help us to remain in you and you remain in us, God. Help us to identify those areas in our lives, those areas of business, even good, that we need to trim back so that you can grow more in us because you have more for us. And God, for those of us who have to make the difficult decision of that, God, once and for all, I need to cut this out, I pray, God, that boldly they're able to make that decision and go to you and tap into your divine supernatural power to be able to do that. God, we thank you for all of this. Help us to produce more fruit in our lives, more of the good stuff, because in the end, we know that's what matters. So again, don't sit back and go, you know what? I'm not perfect. How can I get you baptized? God says, come as you are. Again, during these next three songs, as Brad the Bad sings, if you want to get baptized, you can go ahead and do that.